the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise, please, for the Holy Gospel appointed from the Apostle St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples, therefore, said to one another, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, and I go to the Father'?" They kept saying, therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks?" We do not know what he's saying. But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth a child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Amen. A little while are the distinctive words of today's Gospel. What is this that he has said to us, a little while, that occurs twice in this Gospel? As the apostles were wondering, so also we do too. The interpretation of the details of these prophetic words of our Lord depends largely on the precise meaning that we attach to the phrase, "a little while," which occurs twice. This verse happens just only a few hours before our Lord's Passion. If you read the Gospel of St. John, you have this, that's why it's prophetic, and then later on it will be the account of the Passion of Christ. In the first part of the verse, "a little while, and now you shall not see me," it refers to the day which elapsed between the time of its utterance by Christ and his death on the cross. After a brief space of only 24 hours, the disciples would no longer see our Lord with his bodily eyes, because his body would be placed in the tomb. And then in the second half of the text, "again a little while, and you shall see me," it is used by Christ to describe the 3 days of interment, of his interment, after which the disciples, with joy in their hearts, would again behold him in the flesh. The disciples would understand only at the end, not by their master's words, but until they had actually seen them realized in their fullness. Then they clearly recognized that the time of sorrow, which he had foretold would come upon them, had relation to their interval between the crucifixion and the resurrection, and that the joy that which no man could take from them referred to the happiness and gladness that they experienced when, to their amazement, the Lord appeared to them. That is then the message of the fourth Gospel, that fits more readily by its obvious meaning with John the Evangelist's intents in the text. A little while. If Jesus was not to inaugurate his messianic kingdom, what purpose would then be the second part of the phrase about his return? The church has always interpreted this Gospel, which allows for a more practical application regarding these words, "a little while." It signifies then that this mortal life, in contrast to the eternal home in heaven, that's the other practical application for each one of us. Similar to the ones, to the meaning applied to the apostles. We have this as an analogy to the 3 days of Christ in the tomb, waiting to the eternal light of heaven. The Lord says, a little while and you shall not see me. A little while and then you shall see me. In our limited understanding, such is also the reaction of the apostles being immersed into the world, we also expect and analyze our problems, concerns, and all of these things that happen around us without taking this supernatural view that our Lord is explaining here on this gospel. The supernatural vision is easily forgotten. However, this period of 3 days, meaning a short while in the tomb, will soon be gone because heaven awaits us. A little while. This short life is the time, a period for us, like the interim between Calvary and the resurrection for the disciples. In other words, what the Lord is telling us in this gospel is to have this supernatural vision of all the events, of all the circumstances in our life, but always have heaven in front of us. When I was in our church, I know many people went there, in a church called St. Stephen, the first martyr. So on the high altar, we have obviously the statue of the patron saint. And you can see St. Stephen, which two things that at first of all will strike your attention. The first one is that he's holding the stones. Because remember that he was martyred because they casted stones at him. Until he died, he was martyred that way. But the second thing that calls your attention are his eyes. Because he's looking towards heaven. He's looking up. So whenever you see the statue of St. Stephen, you will notice that he's looking up. He's looking at heaven. And this is what our Lord wants us to realize. That while we are here in this little while, this little short time that we have in life, our eyes will be always looking at heaven. He's not even looking at the stones that they used to, martyr him, used to throw stones at him. But he's looking at heaven. And that is why the martyrs, they always have this concept of life. This short period of life right now, but I'm looking at my eternal heavenly home in heaven. A little while. On another token, I had a few months ago watched an interview of a sister from the Religious Sister of the Incarnate Word based in Washington. It's an Argentinian order, and this sister was back in my country in an interview. And she was talking about Syria, because she is actually still in a mission there, helping the Christians who have been martyred and persecuted in Syria. That was only a few months ago. And she was talking about the bombings. She was talking about everything that happened there. And what also caught my attention of this young sister was her inner peace and joy while she was talking about it. And people, the secular media, the secular journalists who were interviewing her, they were surprised the fact that she was with so natural ways, she was explaining, and she had that supernatural vision. And it's so sometimes difficult for us to see that. How do we spend our time in this pilgrimage towards the heavenly kingdom? If the Lord is saying that this is a short time, then this gospel reading is given to us as an opportunity to reflect that time is a treasure of inestimable value, because in every moment of time we may gain an increase of grace and eternal glory. We can gain one plenary indulgence every day by doing certain things. The rosary, the family rosary, reading of the scriptures. We always have time when we do a good action. The corporal and the spiritual works of mercy, all of the things are for increasing the graces in our souls. As a woman, when she's in labor, have sorrow because her hour has come. But when she hath brought forth the child, she remembered no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. So you also now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. See, the Lord is saying here is giving you a practical application of what he's saying in the gospel. The promise of our blessed Savior that this time in the interment, waiting for his coming, is a time of spiritual travail, a time of pain, sorrow, oftentimes occasioned by forces outside our control. However, this time of preparation will have its fruits and its joy and its rewards. And we have to be mindful of that. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. If you do this, says the Lord, you will take sacrifice, but then you will have the reward in heaven. O time, how much despised. Thou wilt be of all things else the most valued by such persons when death shall have surprised them. Because at the time of death, there is no more time for merit. It's now. It's now the time. And then you will regret. We will regret. And that time is worth value that sorrow and pain such as a woman in labor, and later the beauty and joy of a child as a fruit of that sacrifice. Heaven awaits us. What a wonderful thing that we have to hope here on earth. And we should lift up our hearts towards God in heaven when we say that at the preface of the Mass. Lift up your hearts. Sursum corda. St. Augustine points out that this little while seems too long to us living, but ended, we feel how short it is. And this is a reality. And this is a difficult thing to preach for the young people. Because when you're young, that's why the book of Ecclesiasticus says, remember God in the days of your youth. This little short while doesn't seem that short. Because you have the whole future in front of you. Or seems to be that. But then you realize, the older you get, that time was really short. But that conception of time always happens through age, in a way, when you live your life. Middle age, you see your parents aging, and you start getting scared about them. So that's why we need to have that supernatural vision of today's gospel that will help us, even for young people, to realize that this is time not wasted, and we will have to answer for this time. Remember that the Lord thy God in the day of your youth, when you have the energy to serve the church, to serve your family, to do good works. In times of affliction, we should console ourselves by reflecting how soon it will terminate. Not without joy. That means we're not really waiting. But rather in hope. Waiting but in hope. Not without joy or sadness. Hope that it cannot be compared with the future glory that is awaiting eternally in heaven for him who patiently endures. This happiness in heaven is something that we can never form a true idea till we shall be there. It is a hidden treasure, says the Cure of Ars. A hidden treasure, an abundance of secret sweetness, and a plenitude of joy. It is the last effort, he says, of the good God who wishes to reward us. The book of Revelation describes heaven in two ways. First of all, describes this heaven as a new place, and a new place where all things shall be new. A new creation. That's the material aspect of heaven. And then the spiritual aspect of heaven, it says, and death shall be no more. No mourning, no crying, no sorrow shall be anymore, for the former things are passed away. And I will make all things new. The saints, St. Augustine, St. Anselm, and all of the fathers and doctors of the church do not hesitate to maintain that they are in heaven, real trees, fruits, flowers, different from anything that we can imagine, indescribable, attractive, and delightful to the sight, taste, smell, and touch. In other words, a whole new creation. Hoping on eternal goods such as heaven are the consolation of holy souls who value time so much since that is how our eternal destiny will finally be decided. Because in each moment of time given on this earth, a man can, by acts of contrition, love, and hope, acquire the grace of God and eternal glory. Saint Alphonsus Liguori concludes that time is that treasure of the earth, the whole space which the present age of the world passes through is that little while. So we can conclude that life of man on this earth is worthwhile for that, this little while, in order to prepare in these holy thoughts for heaven. These thoughts then of heaven should sustain us during the days in the tomb, in darkness of toils and sacrifices that this world demands. This world demands that. No matter how we try to escape, those things are always problems, will always demand us. But if we think with that supernatural vision, we think that life is precious because it prepares us for eternity here below, and we ask for the grace of the virtue of hope. Hope as we are pilgrims to our eternal home in heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.